Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
It's a spot. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am your host, John, Mr. Mobile Young, also known as Chocolate Thunder. Can I get a boom, Bobby?
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Thank you. I have the Mad Hatter. He's back after his stint on the injured reserve list. I'm glad you're back, brother. Good to see you. Steve was great, but you're the Mad Hatter. And I have my friend here, Bobby Purvis. He's coming on the show to talk about some things after our opening segment. Bobby, you want to say hello, good night to anybody? Yeah.
John, thank you for having me. It's exciting. I've been listening to you, and really proud of you, man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Bobby's biased. We've known each other 25 years.
At least.
When I had hair and your hair was brown.
That's right.
But is there anyone you want to say the good night to? Or hey?
I got lots of friends out there, and hopefully my wife's listening.
So we're glad that everyone's listening. You know, Bobby and I are going to talk about some things and make some jokes, but we want to first take care of saying rest in peace to Adam Looney. A couple of weeks ago, I had Greg Looney on. He talked about the Adam Looney Foundation, and this is the anniversary week of Adam crossing over. If you guys haven't, check out the Adam Looney Foundation. They are sponsoring children to participate in athletic events. I have to also say today is the one-year anniversary of our friend Big Pat Sanders passing. Suddenly, Big Pat, what can I say about a Christian man, married, loved his wife, loved his children, loved his grandchildren, a career man at 26 years on the police department. And when you lose a man like that, they say only the good die young. I hear it all the time, but I never fully understood it until Big Pat passed away. He's very well missed. His son PJ is a spitting image of him, and just graduated nursing school, I think, last year. So we're wishing the family get well, stay strong. So rest in peace, Big Pat. Now, Bobby, we have to talk about rest in peace, Chief Michael Tyrone Williams. He passed away suddenly 2 days ago. He was chief of police for 12 years in Mobile from 2001 to 2013. He was hired to the police department in 1998. He retired in 2013 at the end of as chief of police. He worked up from patrolman to chief of police. He served under the Sam Cochran administration. He was an operator. I had the pleasure of working for him as chief. I think I was in the public information office. But you had personal interaction with Chief Williams.
I did. One of the things that really impressed me about him, you know, I had tried out to be on the TAC team with him. He was the sergeant. And I made it. I made it onto the team. He was a big impact in my life because when you talk about men that live the standard, he lived it. And that meant in his personal life and his professional life. And he taught me a lot about what it is to be a true leader. And I looked up to him, and even after I left, I would call him and ask him questions about different things, and he was always there for me. I respected him so much, and we're all going to miss him.
What is the one story that's not under time constraints or federal investigation that you can tell that would tell something about that man's character, about Chief Williams' character?
I think I may have shared this with you. I wasn't going to share it, but we had went on a call out, and we went into the house. They give us the call. We go into the house, and we got the bad guy. I'm sitting on his back. I'm so proud. Hey, we got the bad guy. And for whatever reason, he starts to convulse, and they take the cuffs off. And I looked up at him. He was my sergeant at the time, and I said, "Sarge," because this guy was as big as Mr. Mobile. I don't know if anybody knows Mr. Mobile. He's a quite large gentleman. And this gentleman, and I am not a large gentleman,
right,
by the way.
Right.
So I'm sitting on this gentleman's back, and they tell me to take the cuff off. I take one cuff off. This man, in a split second, turns and picks me up and tries to throw me out of a plate glass window. And the only person left in that room was Sergeant Williams. And between the two of us, we got him on the ground and got him back in cuffs.
Right.
He will not leave you. I knew that. I trusted him with my life. And going through a door with that man, I knew he was going to be there for me. And that, I just respected him so much.
Do you remember any of the other operators that were on the team with you at that time? Because we're talking about the mid to early 90s, right?
Right, right. Leon Torbert, Rassie
yeah,
Smith.
Right.
You know, Kip Thornton.
Right. With Big E on that team?
Big E.
Yeah.
I love Big E. I loved him.
Right.
Yeah, he was on that team. Hoven was on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a good group of people.
What do people miss when we, you know, I know Michael James is out there.
Yep, Michael James.
Yeah, he and the chief were tight.
Absolutely.
They would go fishing. What do people miss about that type of camaraderie? What don't they understand?
I think when you get that close to men that are willing to put their lives on the line, it was really something it draws you really, really close. And you had utmost confidence in them that they were going to be there for you.
Save your life if they had
Absolutely.
To. Give their life to save your life.
Absolutely. They were going to back away. No matter what happened, they were going to be there for you. And the men in that room, when we looked around, I had utmost confidence. There wasn't going to be any doubt. And you couldn't go through that door if you had any doubt. And they didn't want you to. And it was proven day after day.
And Chief Williams proved that to you guys in training and roll call. And
he was an absolute example of the, you know, a type of person that you want to be around, especially in life-threatening situations. He really was. I looked up to him.
Has the phrase thin blue line been misinterpreted or mistranslated in the last few years, over the last 10 years compared to 25, 30 years ago?
You know, John, I've been out so long now. I mean, I left in 2011. But when I was there, that thin blue line just meant, hey, there's a line that we're going to walk here between life and death. It had really nothing to do with division between, a lot of people use it as division of the police and the civilians. It really did not mean division.
It was bad guys standing in between good.
Absolutely.
We were standing in between bad guys and good guys.
Absolutely. And it wasn't trying to keep me away from citizens. It was just, I'm going to stand between evil and good. I'm going to be that barrier. And you're not coming through me. That's what I loved about Chief Williams, was he would be standing there with you. And I wouldn't mind standing next to him right now. I would love it.
Could he outrun you?
Well, I just told you, I'm 5 foot nothing, by the way.
He was in great shape.
But he was in great shape. He ran so smooth and never got tired. I've really never seen him got tired. And he had me by 15 years and would outrun most people on the team.
But he lived his standard.
He did.
And this segues into what we're going to talk about when you come back. You've been out for a while. And so what was important about his style of leadership?
He understood how to build trust with his people. And he did that by investing in them and understanding that if I can take away all the roadblocks to your success, then you'll be successful. All it's going to take is effort. And the effort is on my part, but he just took away all of the roadblocks of being successful. And I take that today as part of my character. I want to remove all the roadblocks to young people being successful. And if I can be part of that, then I want to do that.
So we're coming up on our break. Bobby's going to come back and talk about what's going on. Is it November 4th?
November 7th.
November 7th. Why leaders are important, the influence they have. Rest in peace, Chief Williams. You guys have heard a few testimonies from Bobby about the man's life, how he influenced Bobby, and now we're going to say why that is so important in every aspect of our life, corporate and personal. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Thank you, guys. Welcome back, guys, to Tonight in Mobile. Bob Slaughter just told you, hey, Bobby Purvis.
Well, I love Bob. Hey, Bob, how are you, sir?
We could do an entire show on those stories about JY, Bobby, and Bob, but not tonight. We have important things to talk about. Eddie's Wholesale Pawn, Jewelry and Pawn, 266 East I-65 Service Road North, 251-479-4653. Or 251-479-4653 gold. Go see Ed, Sandra, Braxton, JJ, Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, or Dolly, and they'll take care of all of your needs, anything from jewelry to guns to power tools. They have chainsaws, pipe saws, sawzaws. They have running boards for trucks, everything that you might need there. The only thing they don't do is babysit. They also have a check cashing operation there. JJ is still waiting for someone to come give him a hug, and Braxton has now gray hair. He has a Fu Manchu gray hair going down there that's just growing in naturally, growing in on his own. So whenever you have needs, go see the crew at Eddie's Pawn Shop on Spring Hill. Bro Young, you need to go in. They had a chainsaw in there. It's time for you to come out of retirement and get to work. Bobby, what's going on November 7th?
Well, I have a great opportunity. I'm the closing keynote speaker for Sherm Mobile, right here in Mobile. And I was gracious enough to be chosen for that. And I think it came about because they were interviewing me. I was just going to go in and present during the conference. It wasn't like I was...
Which conference?
The Sherm Mobile.
All right.
Which is Society of Human Resources Professionals. I just wanted to speak with them because I have a philosophy that if God gives you a gift, then you should give it away. Well, I have such a passion for leadership, and I know how it changes people's lives, that I just want to give it away. I want to influence and impact as many people as possible. So, you know, I put in for it, and they called me. And I started telling some of the stories and some of the success stories, and it's like, you know what, would you consider closing it out? And I said, I would be honored. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about leadership, how it's impacted my life, and how if you're a leader and you follow these leadership principles, you can impact people's lives in a major way.
How did you get here from Alba High School as a center? I know a lot about you, don't I?
Yes, you do, sir.
How did you get here from Alba High School?
Wow. Well, you know, in the early 90s, there wasn't a lot of jobs. You know, people think, well, today you can get a job very, very easily. And I was talking to one of our friends together, Curtis Graves, and he was in the same boat. In the early 90s, it wasn't a job. So I thought, well, I'll get into law enforcement. I walked into the Civic Center. There was 600 people to take a test to be in law enforcement. Well, the only city to call me was the great city of Pritchard. And they said, you want to come to work for us? And I said, man, that sounds fantastic because I need a job. They were going to pay me $6.16 an hour to protect the citizens. I took it. Absolutely, I took it. Well, after a couple of years there, I was able to sign up and go transfer. Back then, they would allow you to transfer. Mm-hmm. I think they stopped that. But I was able to transfer to Mobile, and that was a tremendous opportunity because I got a $3 an hour raise. So early mm-hmm. 90s, I'm making $9 an hour. I thought I was rich. I suffered through those years, and it was tough. But I had some great opportunities with the city of Mobile, and I have nothing negative to say about it because it taught me a lot about leadership, how to endure pain and build physical and mental toughness. You have to get through sometimes. I left there and had a great opportunity for Mobile Gas. I know it's not Mobile Gas anymore. It's Spire. Was there as a mailboy. That was an actual title. Now, you say that in front of HR professionals, they would probably freak out because it's a terrible name. Mm-hmm. Correspondence engineer would probably be a lot better title for that. But I made it from mailboy and then went to janitor. Now, I had left the city of Mobile as a SWAT operator, and I'm scrubbing toilets. But I'm proud to be there. Within that time, it was probably 6 months, I got an opportunity to promote to supervisor. And for some reason, without any experience other than excitement to be there and understanding the principles of leadership that Chief Williams taught me and other people taught me, like Palmer Williams out of the academy, he taught me some great things. Taking those principles to that private organization, they gave me an opportunity. That started my leadership journey right there. I remember once I got promoted, the first phone call I made was to Chief Williams, and I said, "Chief, I don't know what I'm doing." And he started laughing. He said, "Look, just follow certain things. You got to build a team, and building great teams comes with building trust. And they'll only trust you if you're consistent in your actions."
Is that number one, being consistent?
Absolutely. Because people can see through you. You can talk a good game all you want. Those words don't mean anything because they're going to be watching.
Would you say consistency is also predictability? I know that he likes this and dislikes that. And if I come in and say or do these things, I know what he's going to say or do.
I would say so. But one of the things, too, when you're talking about predictability, I don't mind being flexible. And part of my leadership style is I have to be flexible because I know I don't always have the answer. I'm depending on smart people around me. I might have the responsibility if it goes wrong, but I'm looking for others to step up. And if I don't give them a chance and listen, because I know some leaders say, "Well, I don't have time. I got to make a decision now." Well, it only takes a few seconds to get your team together and say, "Are we moving in the right direction?" One of the things that I always think about, if you see an organization that's on the news and a decision was made and it's horrible, and they're thinking, "Who sat around a table and thought that was a good idea? Did anybody not speak up?" Well, that consistency and that trust, if they had that in that room, they would have spoke up and said, "Hey, that's probably not a good idea. Let's not go down that route." But if that wasn't there and they didn't trust their leader, they're probably not going to speak up, and they're going to watch the dumpster fire start. So I don't want to create an atmosphere. That's why I think it's so important. If we invest in young people and teach them the principles of leadership, then when they get those opportunities, then they'll start listening. They'll build trust. They'll be consistent and build influence with their team. And I always say, you build enough influence with folks, they'll run through a wall for you.
Because you went into too many dangerous situations for other people, right?
I did.
You mentioned the phrase principles of leadership three times. What are they?
To me, I have three that I really, really depend on. And it goes back to trust, consistency, and influence. It all goes back. There's a quote by John Maxwell that says, you know, everything rises and falls on leadership. Well, that to me is 100%, because every situation I go into now, whether I'm eating at a restaurant and I know that the wait staff is struggling, that is a failure in leadership. Somebody should be stepping up. Every situation rises and falls on leadership.
Give me an example of each of those principles.
So trust, there's also a saying that says, you know, rules without relationships creates division. If you go into an organization and you got all these rules, but you haven't created relationships with the people, and those relationships create trust, they're not going to follow all these rules that you think you're going to keep everybody in line with. The police department, when I hired on with the City Mobile, they gave me three books of policies and procedures. Number book three would contradict book one, but it was just rules.
But when you say trust, do you mean in believing in me, believing in the leader, his decision making?
Believing that the leader has your best interest at heart. Mm. I'm not trying to promote myself. I'm trying to promote the people around me. I want to work as hard as possible to help people be successful. I have such a passion for it, and I think some people think that I'm a little crazy about it, but I think it's so important, because the harder you work to help people grow, you build that trust. And with that, then when you need them to do the hard things, right, like run through a wall or go into a room where you know people want to hurt you, just back on the police department, they don't mind doing
that.
So
the trust is, he's giving me the tools and he's telling me the truth. He believes in his mission. He's not deceiving me. He's not manipulating me. It's just trust in you telling me the right
thing. Absolutely.
What about the second one?
All right, consistency. My actions have to be consistent. If I'm not consistent, if I'm telling you, well, this is the way it's got to be because, and then I come back and I change my philosophy, you're going to stop believing in me. And that trust that I'm trying to build is going to go away. it don't take but a few times for you to say one thing and do something else, that trust dwindles.
It's like with children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, we all are watching your actions. And if those actions are not consistent with what you're saying, it's going to go away. And when I meet people and they're telling me something, but their actions telling me something else, and they're not being consistent with their words. And me and you have talked about this at length. You got to live, and we talked about, you know, Chief Williams. He lived his standard. Well, how do you create those standards? You create them by habits.
We're up on our one-minute break. I'm going to say the third principle for when we come back. Do most employees leave for pay, or do they leave bad leadership?
That's a great tease. We're going to hold that for the next day.
Well, we have to fill this last 45 seconds. You have to say something.
I'm going to tell you this. I got more than 45 seconds to say about that because I'm almost shaking in the chair right now because I know why people leave organizations.
Okay, so we'll save it and then come back. Third principle and then why people are leaving organizations.
Absolutely.
I brought you on November 7th. What's going on and where?
The Society of Human Resources of Mobile. Their conference right here in Mobile. I'll be the closing keynote speaker.
Where's it being held?
It's going to be right downtown. I'll have to get the address, but it's right downtown.
Wonderful. Then I'm inviting people to come out. Anybody, professional, it can be police, bankers, construction workers, utility workers, anyone can come and hear your principles and how to apply them and to motivate people.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back, Port City Patriots. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Tonight, my friend Bobby Purvis. Thank you, guys. Welcome back to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I have my guest, Bobby Bobito Purvis, on. We left the last segment with the third principle of leadership. What is that?
Influence. Give us a look. Now, with the trust, consistency, you build the influence. And a lot of people don't think it's some this mysterious thing, and it's really not. Because once you have the trust and that consistency, that influence means, hey, I'm willing to do hard things for you. And it is a true thing because I've done hard things for people I respected, like Chief Williams, and I've had wonderful mentors around me that have built that influence through trust and consistency. I was willing to do anything for the job. I would work hard, do hard things, work over. And in today's world, if you don't have that influence, people are just going to go and do their eight and go home.
And that's at work, but I think the word influence has been hijacked by influencers, the stuff online. I think it's not what it used to be, because I would use the word inspire also.
Absolutely.
Is that the same thing as influence?
It is. It is. Imagine this. If you're working for someone and they're demonstrating everything that we've been just talking about, you know, they have their character. Their actions are defining their character. So you're thinking, this is a good person. And they're also being consistent, so you're starting to trust them. So that's the two keys. That influence goes by when they pick up the phone and say, JY, Mr. Mobile, I need you to do this. I know you're fixing to get off, but I need you to do this. Really important. You don't blink an eye at it. You don't make excuses. You go into that with only one goal in mind, is to accomplish that task, what was asked of you. If you don't have those things, they may order you to do it. You're probably not going to do the greatest job in the world. You're going to do just enough to get by. And I think with those three principles, now you got someone who's engaged. And I know the you know, different organizations, they talk about employees being engaged. Well, that's how you get them engaged. You start building trust with them. You be consistent with your leaders. All the leaders need to be consistent. You build that influence. Then they want to be part of this process. They stop working for you, and they start working with you. And isn't that what we all want? You know, me and you have worked close together. We never competed with each other. We were given assignments. And what would we do? We tried to play off each other's strengths.
Right.
And when we walked into a room to present something, it was you go, I go, and we went into it to be successful.
Right.
And, and if I'm successful, you're successful.
Right. The organization is successful. A bank manager that goes and works a teller window every once in a while.
Absolutely.
The utility leader goes out and digs a hole every once in a while. You know, an executive staff that goes out and into the field every once in a while. Those are the things that inspire, and those are the things that we've grown accustomed to. Now, my final question before the last segment, you wanted to save. Do employees leave for better pay, or do they leave poor leadership more often?
So I'm going to be fair. If someone came in and put a times two on my pay and said, hey, we need you to come over here, I would probably leave, and it has nothing to do. But if they doubled my pay, okay. There are instances like that. But normally, that's not why people leave. They leave because of toxic leadership. People don't believe in them. They don't care if they grow. They don't care if they give them opportunities, and they're not taking away the obstacles for them to be successful. They just look at them as a number. And if you have someone that's restricting you in your growth, you probably don't want to be there. I'm searching, especially the generation that we have now, because of social media, it's that instant gratification. If you're not trying to build these young people in a way that says, look, there is a path of success, and show them a checklist and say, if you work hard and you do these things, I'm going to open up the possibilities for you. If you're not successful here and I don't have something for you, I'm going to build you up so much, somebody's going to find value. Now, there's not a lot of bosses out there today that look at it and say, I'm going to build you up to the point to where you could leave. You could go anywhere because now you have value, but you stay by the way you're being treated.
Loyalty. We had that when we were in PA.
Absolutely.
If they had upped the pay, we would have been there a long time.
Absolutely.
But the people that were there, Yvonne Baldwin, Leslie Nobles, Frank Dees, they cared about us and put in us that made us appealing to every other place in the state.
Absolutely. I got a quick story. I had started Pritchard. It was my birthday. I was on midnight shift, so we went to work at 10 o'clock at night. And I tell this story with reverence for these people. 10 o'clock at night, I go to shift. I leave. It's my birthday. I ain't thinking anything about it. I get a call to come back to the precinct. The ladies from day shift had brought a cake and some Coke and came back, left their homes, and came back to the precinct to have a little birthday party for me. That's true family right there. That, if they would have paid me more, I would have never left.
That builds loyalty. That builds
absolutely
confidence. What are modern day managers and leaders are different?
Yes.
What are modern day managers and leaders missing?
I think they're missing the fact that leadership starts by caring about people. If you just care about the process of getting something accomplished, you're missing your biggest asset, which is people. If you invest in your people, the work gets done. That's the least of my worries. If a project gets done, I don't worry about that. What I worry about is, are my people being taken care of?
And that's a leader.
That's a leader.
Managers come in and say, hey, 8 to 5 p.m., this needs to be done by 9. This needs to be done at 10. I don't care if it's your kid's birthday. Get it done.
Get it done. Get it done. And, you know, we talk about caring about people, but you got to look them in the eyes. If they're having a tough day, if you know that individual, especially I teach this to young supervisors, get to know your people. And if you can see that this person's not quite right today, hey, is everything okay? And I'm not asking you to get in their personal life, but check on them. Say, do you need a break? Because are you all here today? And especially in law enforcement, you deal with some very dangerous things. If they're not all there that day, maybe put them on the phone. Say, do you need a break? Is something going on at home? Do you need a break? I'll give you a break. That's leaders, because I care about you and I want you to be safe. In other worlds, you can do the same things. Just get to know your people. And that trust, once they realize, hey, this person cares about me, they'll go over and beyond for you.
What about the supervisor that remembers how long you've been married? Or you had a child, you know, your child should be about 8 years old now, or remembers your wife's name.
Absolutely.
What kind of influence or effect does that have on subordinates?
Well, it goes back to caring. They care about you. Now that relationship, and I talked about that rules where that relationship creates division. Well, that relationship's important. I am much less, and I told you that, you know, Chief Williams, when he was my sergeant, I messed up something and he had to write me up. I didn't have any hard feelings about that. I wasn't mad at him. He did his job. But he never mentioned it again. He knew I screwed up, and he had to do some discipline on me. I respected that because he knew, hey, I need you. Your behavior is not in line with my expectations, and I'm going to get you back in line, and he did. And I respected that. if you get to know people. Now, he also did something. He came to some of my family events. He came to church with us. My kids were little. He'd run up and he'd pull money out of his pocket and give my kids. They remember that today. They're grown. They remember that today. That's relationships that'll go a long ways.
There, a guy I work with named Charles Bagsby reminded me when we were on an assignment together that you have to look at them as a parent looks at a child, JY. You can't get angry about every mistake they make and try to bludgeon correction
right.
in them.
It don't work.
It doesn't. Why not?
It doesn't because, you know, there's the joke that the beatings will continue till morale improves. Come on. You can, after a while, I just become numb to it. And it probably, the behavior's not going to get any better. You're probably just going to quit. You're going to drive that person out of there. And you can. You can make someone so miserable, they just quit. That is called constructive termination. You're not really terminating them, just making their environment so toxic that they just want to leave. I think that happens in organizations. And why aren't people stepping up and saying, I don't agree with how you're dealing with this. I want to change. And we need to focus more on leaders.
Because that's the way we've always done it.
Absolutely.
You hear that, right? That's the way we've always done it. Why is that so toxic?
I think people are scared to sit in front of another individual, man or woman, when you're dealing with something and maybe their behavior is not consistent with your standards. And by the way, you need to state what that is, what your expectations are. A lot of leaders don't do that. Hey, let's state what our expectations are so you know where the lines are. But sit in a room and say, this is not you. This is not, you're not meeting the expectations. I know you're better than this. And I care about you, and I want you to be more. How many leaders sit in a room and look at another person and say, I care about you, and I want you to be the best that you can be, but right now you're cheating yourself? Have these honest conversations because people are too afraid. Oh, I can't say that. Sure you can. I walk around every day, and I say, I care about that person. You know, I worked at a utility across the bay. I'd walk in the door, and I would hug four people before I made it to my office.
How can people get in contact with you if they want you to come and give that same energy, that same deliberate intention, intentional interpretation of leadership? How do they get in contact with you?
You can reach me through my phone number, 251-401-3804, email ra_Purvis@yahoo. I would love to come and talk. I'm so passionate about it. This has been my life for so long. This is all I know.
Repeat the numbers and the email address again for some of my older listeners. You know, it's 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah. I hope they're not falling asleep. 251-401-3804. Email is ra_Purvis, P-U-R-V-I-S, @Yahoo, like the old Sheriff Purvis.
Yeah, right on. We're coming up on our final break. If you guys want to send Bobby a question or a comment, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. You're going to stay for the final segment, right?
Absolutely. I'll be here.
Matt Hatter, will you take us to the final break? Yep. Thank you, sir. Guys, we're back from the break. You'll have to forgive us. We start running our mouths and distracted the Mad Hatter, and he looked up at the clock. So we're back. This is our final
6 minutes.
What haven't we covered about leadership? Two questions. What haven't we? No, let's answer this first. What must every leader understand, whether it's in police department, banking, construction, whatever, regardless of their profession? What is the one thing you want them to understand?
The most important asset they have is their people. And if they believe in them and they're willing to invest in them, everything else will take care of itself. But that without that, then you're just going to have that turnover. People talk about that turnover rate all the time. Sure, because they're searching for it. People want that care. They want to go to a place where people care about them. They want to go to a place where I know I can grow. And
attrition rates is what they call it, right?
Yeah, sure. And it's so predictable because I've seen places where people know they're not cared about. they have the ability. Every leader has the ability. You know, some people have that question, well, are leaders, you know, born or can it be taught? I think it can be taught, because if you haven't been exposed to it and you start learning it, it will change not only how you operate your personal life and your professional life, but it'll impact everyone around you.
You said that you would go to work and hug people. How many people did you have working for you?
62 at the time.
And you could go in and meet them. What if you have 2,000 people working for you and there are layers between the head leader, he has sub-leaders, and the people? How does this guy get his message to these guys that are doing the work?
So one of the things that I think is very important, and right now I think I have, if there's 102 people that I have access to impact in my career right now. I can't reach every one of them, but what I can do is I can take, you mentioned it, I try to take opportunities to go out in the field. I try to go out there, be with them, hear their stories. And I joked earlier, I'm not a tall guy. But I have to take myself, I can't take myself so seriously just because of a title. So I have to tell you a story. I was out with the guys, and we were laying some sod. I don't have to be out there, but I knew it's important. And when I saw it was a Friday, I said, oh, I know what I'm doing today. I'm going to go out with these guys. So one of the guys said, you know, Bobby, don't throw it. Don't, you know, we were lifting sod, right? He said, well, you don't have to bend over. We don't want you to hurt your back. And one of the guys said, well, don't worry about him hurting his back. He ain't get that far to bend over. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was fantastic. Now, as a leader, you've got to find that funny.
Right.
You got to laugh at yourself.
Well, but what if I wear a suit and I have a desk and I have an office on the 50th floor, dude? And I'm not going down there to street level. And
no, but guess what? If you can impact the leaders that do go down there, you create leadership language.
Right. So I don't have to go to the street level. I have
That's
to go
right.
down to the 10th floor, the 5th floor, and go in and get my hands dirty with them.
What was it? Reagan had trickle-down economics. Mm-hmm. I think trickle-down leadership is a real thing.
Right.
But it starts with the top. If the top don't believe it and live it.
Do weak leaders influence people in their command to be 100%.
Weak? 100%. I got a great friend named Martin Dale. I worked with him for a long time. You know what he said? There are leaders, and then there's misleaders. And that is absolutely true. I can impact, if there was a negative person in the room, if he's strong enough and has enough conviction on his negativity, he can impact him more than I can. And I've seen it. Negativity can impact people just as positivity can. And I'm not trying to say that work is done by being positive. It's a bad situation. It's a bad situation. But believing in the people around you and knowing that we can get through this, we'll have the mental toughness enough to get through it, even if it's hard. That negativity can impact people that say, well, we'll never get through this. We just throw our hands up and give up.
And it could be something just as simple as, well, you know, I don't want to do this. So-and-so made me do it.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't want to write you up, but I got to.
Right.
Or so that's what we're trying to get rid of, right?
Exactly. Because when leaders say those things, they lose the trust. They lose any authority they thought they had, because now they're like, well, you're just a puppet. I don't have to look at you. I can look at the level above, because you really don't, you know, you're not setting a standard. You're not upholding that standard.
Right.
And when you set standards, you have to have the behavior to back it up. And I mentioned it earlier,
right,
that your habits really control your standards. You can have posters on the wall that have all these great sayings and motivational
right.
sayings.
Right.
But if your habits are showing me something different, that's where your standards are. So you got to live it. And if you're not living it as a leader, people notice. And I feel like if we can impact enough people, especially young people that's going into management, and, you know, they say leadership roles, well, let's live it. Let's start growing the people around us. Let's push that decision level. And this is something I think leaders miss. Push decision level to the lowest person, the newest person. If they understand what your standards are, what your expectations are, and what the mission and vision of your organization is, the decision they make will be in line with the top. They'll do it just the way you want it. But that takes time, and it takes communications, and it takes people getting out of their office. If you're up on the top floor, the 50th floor of a building, and you're not talking to anyone, you're just going through spreadsheets or you're checking budgets and you're just dealing with your board, how are you impacting that organization? How about you go down and you find out what's going on? What's the struggles? How can you help people if you don't know what they're struggling with?
All right. Define the mission, explain how we will accomplish, and then give us the tools to accomplish
Absolutely.
The mission.
Absolutely.
We're down to our last 2 minutes. There's something personal I want to talk about. Tell us what's going on again, 11-7, what it is, and how we get in contact with you.
Sure. It is the SHRM, the Society of Human Resources Professionals. They have a conference in Mobile, and I'll be the closing keynote speaker there. If you want to get in contact with me, it's 251-401-3804, or email ra_Purvis@yahoo.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou may livest long on the earth. Sometimes we overlook things like that, Bobby.
John, I'm going to tell a story to the listeners. Years ago, I was in a dark spot, and I was working next to Mr. Mobile. We were sitting next to us in an office, and he knew I was in a dark spot. Now, men don't normally do this, but he tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "Hey, can I talk to you for a moment?" Right next to our offices was the interrogation room. No one was in there. He brought me in the interrogation room. We sat at the table, and he said, "I know you're having a hard time right now." And J.Y., my beautiful friend, he sat there, and he put hands on me, and he prayed for me. And I cried, and he cried, and we were going through it. That meant something to me,
right. Because
at that moment, I needed it. He saw it, and I just want to tell you, thank you.
Oh, dude, you know, any time. I remember that day. But I learned it from my father. I learned that strong spiritual evidence of faith from my father. And oftentimes, we men, especially Southern men, we get so bravado and macho, and we forget that everybody hurts.
Absolutely.
Now, our hurt comes out differently. But what we have to remember is that, and I read that scripture about honoring my father and mother, because I would have given a disservice to my father's legacy if I had not recognized something was going on with you and I had not prayed with you. If I don't come on the show and tell the truth, if I don't have people on to give advice, the same wisdom that I've received over my 54 years, if I don't let that light shine when my candle was lit by my parents on May 8th, 1971, I do a disservice. So Port City Patriots, I'm encouraging you to contact Bobito. Call him, email him, and I am encouraging you to let your light shine. Leadership is so important. There is just so much animosity and divisiveness in our country, in our state, and in our city. Let's unite on something. Let's unite on good is still good and evil is still evil, and never the two shall mix. Bobby Purvis, I'm glad you came on. You have to have me back at the house for dinner soon.
Absolutely.
It's not a bribe, because this is not a paid advertisement. This is just, I always talk about local things, and you have something I think is very important to hear. Leaders need to lead again. They need to have the spine to stand up to powers that be and speak the truth fearlessly without regard of what might happen. Stand on something. Stand on principle. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Thank you, Mad Hatter.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bobito.
John, I love you, brother.
Love you back. Port City Patriots, tomorrow, Tuesday, the 14th, go do something good for someone else, even if it means buying me lunch. Good night, y'all. God bless Mobile.